Hello, hello, and welcome to another walking session. Maz Miller here. I am having a little bit of a break in between client sessions, and I thought, you know what? I need to jump back on and start recording podcasts. Can't even speak properly. So here I am. I've written out a whole bunch of topics. I feel like that will keep me on track, and I feel like they'll be helpful to you. So let's just see how we go. What I want to talk to you about is, you know, feeling tired all the time. So if you've been feeling exhausted, no matter how much you sleep, then this one is for you. So I guess the first thing that I want to talk about is that the term fatigue is different from just being tired. I feel like being tired is a normal reaction to a big day or big event or big season in your life. Even, you know, you may have had to work overtime for a week and you're like, man, I'm tired. Fatigue seems to be a little bit more of a ongoing thing no matter what you do, and probably a longer lasting thing rather than just responsive to a one-off event. So what I want to say is that, you know, if you've been feeling exhausted, even though you're trying to do maybe those things that normally help you bounce back, like a sleep in or bits and pieces that normally you're like, when I'm tired, this helps. But now that you're fatigued, it doesn't. So I guess that's probably the best way I can make that distinction in terms of what you're feeling through it. What's a good example? I want to do this a bit better. A good example is like what I mentioned before, when no matter how much sleep you're getting, you are still feeling tired. So you might wake up and you've had a big nap and you think, oh yeah, I'm gonna feel like a new woman today or a new man today. But you don't really. It's like it's not enough, or like you might find yourself saying things like, oh, I wish I could just go away and sleep for a week straight. That's fatigue. Fatigue is, you know, a bit of dragging, and everything feels hard when you're fatigued. Every little thing that normally is like, oh, yep, get up, do that, yep, everything feels hard. So that's fatigue. But what I want you to know is that you're not lazy. You're also not broken. You're just carrying too much, and your body knows it, and that's why it's responding in this way. So what really is going on is a little bit of maybe modern exhaustion, if you want to say it. So I want to kind of break down a few of the different causes of this modern exhaustion for you. I've had way too many sessions today, it sounds like, because now I can't even speak properly. Okay, so the first one is emotional overload. So that is stress, decision fatigue, and a little bit of background anxiety. If you're a mum, you probably can relate to this one. It can be the continuous worrying about your kids. It can be the continuous overstimulation provided by your beautiful children. It can be if you're a CEO or in a high responsibility job, it can be that decision fatigue, because you're constantly making decisions and you don't want to make one more. And you feel like just the littlest thing, like what are we going to have for dinner, sends you over the edge. That's emotional overload. Just too much happening all at once, all the time, for a long time. The other thing that could be happening for you, if you can hear me fiddling with stuff, that's me. Like my hair is just really, really annoying me right now. So I need to get it sorted so I can focus properly. All right, got it, done. Okay, the next thing that I want to talk about is mental noise. So you might be somebody that's doing a lot of overthinking that's causing the mental noise. It might be internal criticism that doesn't feel nice and it's mental noise. It couldn't be a rumination going over and over and over and over and over the same thing. That's also mental noise. But that also can lead to modern exhaustion. It sounds exhausting just imagining those three, right? Over and over thinking about stuff, overthinking stuff, criticizing yourself. Who wants to hang out with that person? That's exhausting. So that could be the cause. The other thing could be sensory overstimulation. Like I mentioned in that mum example, it can be noise from your kids or your workplace. If you're, say, working on a building site or in a loud environment, it can be screen time, too much screens, whether it's from work. And it can be just even demands, like three people needing three things from you all at the same time. So that can also add to your sensory overstimulation. Or doing too many, like, you know, you're working in a kitchen and there's someone yelling at something while you're trying to cook something else. I could never be a chef, 100% overstimulated just thinking about it. But that can also cause modern exhaustion. It can be a lack of meaningful rest, so actual passive rest, not scrolling on your phone. That's not true, what we call true restoration. That's just being passive and you're kind of resting. You look like you're resting. You're slouched on the couch, but that's not true restoration and rest and peace. So all of those activities that we've just mentioned keep your cortisol levels or your stress hormone elevated and high. What we want to do is look at ways that we can set it back and get you back to a state of actual true restoration, true rest, right? Somebody that speaks about this is Dr. Saundra Dalton Smith. Gosh, that's a mouthful. And what she speaks about is the seven types of rest. So she's got very distinct types of rests that we need, and it's not just sleep. The first one is physical rest. So it's passive like sleep, or it can be active like stretching. So one way that you get physical rest is by doing it passively, like going to bed, or actively doing something like a gentle stretch. The second type of rest that you need is the mental rest, which is a break from problem solving or decision making. So you might just want to switch off. I like to mentally rest by watching trashy reality TV, because I definitely don't have to do any problem solving and decision making when I do that. Sensory rest is the third one. Less screens, less lights, less noise, just like turning it all down. My one way that I do this in our house, my husband will always say, you'll turn every other light on, but the actual light on. And the reason why I do that is I find bright lights so stressful at times that when I need the sensory rest, I will turn all the lamps on before I go to that. And it's just so relaxing just thinking about it. The next one is creative rest. So it's a space to just appreciate beauty or to be inspired. Going out in nature, obviously, I'm going to say that one is really, really good for this one. Just, you know, just to take all the beautiful things around us in. So that's creative rest. Number five is emotional rest. Emotional rest is the freedom to express feelings without people pleasing, right? So it's like not having to worry about or taking responsibility for everyone else's opinions and everyone else's take on things and how they're going to react, and simply being able to freely express yourself. I feel like emotional rest, the opposite of emotional rest, and a sign that you're not getting enough of this is other anger outbursts, where you say lots of things in an angry way and you're like, I shouldn't have to say it this way. Take emotional rest. Then the number six, we're nearly there, is social rest, which is time with life-giving people or time alone from the draining ones. So whatever it is that you need. I'm mentioning both of those because if you're an introvert, you likely need just time to yourself. If you're an extrovert, you might need time around a life-giving person, somebody that makes you feel good when you walk away from that conversation. And I'm the middle, so I kind of need both of these for social rest. The next one is spiritual rest. That's the final one. And it's just the connection to purpose or something bigger than yourself. Like just that meaning in life. It's called spiritual rest, but to be fair, it can be just your children and finding meaning in why you do what you do. So, you know, we're taught to sleep more when we're exhausted, but it might just not be physical. So you might need all of these other things, the emotional, the sensory, all the noise, the notifications, permission to just be still and not productive. That's really, really good. I know I've come across a TED Talk before. I'm sure there was a TED Talk on this. There's definitely a book called Sacred Rest, if this is something that you're interested in, that you can dive into further. But anyway, they're mine to say, I guess, these are the things that are helping you balance those cortisol levels that we mentioned, or those modern exhaustion things that you might have going on. So try any, all, whatever feels right for you. So I guess what I want to kind of say as a final piece to this is that your tiredness or your fatigue is not a sign of a flaw. It's not a sign of a character weakness, or, you know, it's not a negative thing. It's just data. It's just your body communicating with you. So of course you're tired. You're trying to be everything to everyone. So let's slow down. Let's slow down. All right. Here's a couple of things that I'm going to give you that can help you. They're really easy because I'm all about small and doable exercises for you. One thing that you can try is a bit of a walk. Okay. Of course, I'm going to say it's a walk, but listen, it's a different kind of walk. It's a 5-minute walk without a podcast. And in those 5 minutes, set your timer. You're just going to notice your surroundings. You're just going to walk around and take note of what you can see, what you can hear, what you can maybe even feel on your body while you're walking, like the wind on your face, that kind of thing. You're really going to really going to immerse yourself in this 5-minute walk. So that's one thing you're going to try. The next thing I want you to try is a micro rest. I've been doing these lots with my clients. It's just a 2-minute eyes closed breathing pause before at any point in your life. I don't know, you can use this before you do the next thing in your on your to-do list, but you can just do this while when you get off this podcast episode. All I want you to do is set a timer for 2 minutes, close your eyes, and nothing. Just nothing. I don't want you to do a breathing technique. I don't want you to do a this is how you're going to do it. I'm not going to give you any instructions. I literally just want you to remove one of your senses, which will be your seeing. Obviously, this is really nice if you're doing it near a beach or somewhere where you want to be somewhere comfortable, right? It will most likely heighten your other senses. But I just want you to experience what it feels like to slow down for 2 minutes, just 2 minutes. So try either one of those for me. No, I'm not going to give you another one. I was going to give you a third option, but that's too much. You've got 5 minutes of walking. You've got 2 minutes of closing your eyes. Do them in whichever order you prefer. Try, or just try one. I don't even care if you just try one of them. Whatever helps. So if this resonated with you, I've actually put together a little bit of a 7-day walking reset. It's gentle, it's short, and it might be just what you need. On top of this, obviously, I'd love for you to subscribe and follow. And come back next week when I do another one of these. But yeah, hopefully this was helpful. Hopefully you're not feeling like there's something quote unquote wrong with you, like you're failing at something. No, your body's communicating with you. It's telling you to slow down. I've given you lots of ways to do that. And hopefully you do. All right, take care of yourself. And if you can, go take that walk. All right, see you next time. Bye.